This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? Does that sound like him, guys?
That was a heck of an impression.
That was a heck of an impression.
That was Macho Man.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. We used to do that a little bit on the show.
We did. Bring out the Macho Man. I'm sure our new listeners haven't heard that yet.
Cowboy Nation, it's Steve Owen here. Kind of tell you what's going on is our Jono, he called in sick. He phoned in, or he's a healthy scratch, one of the two.
Debatable. We haven't seen him yet to confirm whether or not he's actually sick.
Yeah. But. Producer Brian is over there saying it's a brown bottle flu. I still think he's suffering from, maybe it's the hangover from meeting Emmett Smith last week.
That could be it too.
So he's probably depressed now that he's not rolling with like royalty.
Back to normal. He had to get his life back to normal. He's not able to cope with that.
Exactly. Well, I'll go around the table. We got Hot Rod in here. Rodney's with us as usual.
Yeah.
So he's here. We just had lunch together. Then we got motivational, our little ninja, Rich is in here. Rich, how's your other podcast going? How's Kicking Life Guru?
Kicking Life Guru is rocking the charts, baby. It really, really is. New subscribers, new downloads every single time. I'm really happy with where that's going. If you haven't subscribed to that one yet, it's called the Kickin' Life Podcast, all about motivation, inspiration, empowerment to help you live your best kickin' life.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow this guy on Facebook, too. He's always doing video live. He's a martial arts instructor.
Whenever I got my dauber down, I'll just find Rich Grogan's.
There it is.
So how is that?
Academy, get a little motivational video in, and I'm ready to go back to work.
Exactly. So why are you so positive all the time?
Well, what is wrong with you?
What is freaking wrong with me? Exactly right. I've kind of had a transformation in life. Okay. And actually, on my Facebook Live last night, I talked about, remember the scene in The Natural when Glenn Close was talking to Robert Redford, and she said to him, I feel you live two lives?
Yeah.
This just popped last night. One you learn with, one you live with afterwards. Well, the learning life was all about, you know, I grew up, my father was in Vietnam, so my first 20-something years of life was all around that. Wasn't the best childhood. I love him to death. He's my dad. But it was a little rough, and the world knocked me down. Always been a smaller person, so I took my share of beatings. And I said, you know what? I can whine and complain like the rest of society, or I can pick myself up and be a better person. And since I've been doing that, the last 5 years have been extremely good.
Well, I know that. I mean, we're personal friends outside the show. I know life's going good for you. But I want you to stick with that positive thought, because I have a question on this as we're going to go around the table. But I brought a special guest in, a real close personal friend of mine. We used to work together back in the day. Rob Schmearsaw, he came in this morning and did my Two Birds on a Bat Cardinal podcast, St. Louis Baseball Cardinal podcast. I went and took him to the Panteras buffet lunch, which is a staple.
Real nice.
Real nice.
That's a real nice for you, Clark.
And then and now we're back in. He's a huge Cowboy fan.
What a sales pitch.
Exactly. What's up, Rob?
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve.
He couldn't take you for a steak dinner or anything, you know what I mean?
Well, like, hold on.
Roddy, just so you know, I paid for it. So And
no. Boom!
And this is what made it better. We're standing in line. I said, "All right, I'll pick up the tab for you since you invited me over here."
And he made you drive. Like
then he said, "He goes, you having water?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, all right, well, I'll take a soda."
Not only that, but
Steve Flowers, everyone, yeah.
But I left him in the line, and I went ahead and went and grabbed my pizza.
No doubt, I believe it,
and started early. So as most people know, when you get to a buffet, if there's something fresh out there, you got to hop on it.
Yep.
Because if you don't, somebody's going to sneeze on it, finger diddle it, whatever you want to do, and it's crazy.
Well, maybe in Steve-O's defense, I think he learned his lesson about missing out on a free buffet with the Cowboys when you get to visit the Cowboys and you missed out on the buffet with the players and the coaches.
Oh, gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a pain.
It's too soon, Rich. It's too soon.
Too soon, and that's been a year. But I did want to ask you guys one thing on that positivity thing. A lot of times we sit in here for this past year, I guess probably past 6 or 7 months, we've talked about Ezekiel Elliott and you know the negative stuff that's following him and that the Cowboys are dealing with. Is there a team, and I was trying to go through it, is there a team out there, is there another podcast for another team out there going through and they don't have something negative to say? I mean, I think, you know, the people up in Green Bay now are negative. Aaron Rodgers is out. The people in Kansas City all of a sudden have a loss or two. Everything seems to be – every team has a negative. You got the Cam Newton debacle that's going on with every time somebody questions him, he walks out of an interview. They're underachieving, you know, J.J. Watt's hurt. They're underachieving out in Oakland and Denver and Minnesota, who's Bradford. So every team has to have some sort of negativity, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That seems to be the case. I mean, it's also the nature of sports, though, up and down. It's always, unless you literally go undefeated, it is a roller coaster season, roller coaster, you know, whether you have injuries and you lose to a team you're not supposed to, you know, you beat a team you weren't supposed to. I mean, there's so many different factors and things that go into it that will always – and this is the nature of sports talk in general, though, too. I mean, negativity is, you know, unfortunately, sometimes more popular.
Right, but you got New England who's lost a couple of home games. Super Bowl champs. You got Atlanta that looks like they're just atrocious. They can't seem to get a win. We got our guys in Washington that how many times are they going to, you know, probably the people out at Washington screaming, is Kirk Cousins our guy or are we going to get rid of him? The only team that I was trying to pinpoint might be the Eagles that don't have a complaint, and now all of a sudden you got a major injury to that offensive line as well. Rob, what do you got?
Well, you're sitting there talking about, Roddy bringing up, this is the nature of sports. I mean, it's just absolutely. And, you know, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. We got the Dodgers. Sorry to make a baseball reference.
No, I want to talk about the baseball, too.
But we got a team that is, game two in the World Series, and what, the first team ever that is in the World Series that had a 10-game losing streak. So, you know, you could have – they could have folded. They could have, you know, packed their bags even though they were so far ahead. But what do they do? You know, you sometimes you got to – you fall down, you pick yourself up, and you move on. And I think the teams that, that are championship teams are the ones that do that, you know, year in and year out. Everybody has adversity. Everybody's going to lose. Everybody has injuries. How do you deal with it, you know?
Absolutely. So, guys, a couple, you know, as you download, as you're listening to the podcast out there, I got a couple requests. First and foremost, we've hijacked the show. Jono's not here, so we can get off topic a little bit. Okay? You know, Jono, every time I try to bring up something, God dang it, we can't talk about that.
You can't stop us today.
You can't stop us today, Jono, one. And two, do me a favor. We're really going to try to stick it to him. So Jono's a part of lineupmedia.fm here, so he's a part of the organization. He actually gets paid to run several podcasts and everything and do all the stuff behind the scenes as well. Everybody else in here is a volunteer, right?
Exactly.
So we want to play a little joke on Jono. I won't even say it's a joke. I want you guys, when you're listening to this, I want you to share it to all your friends. Try to get as many people as possible to download this episode or to subscribe to the show, because the general managers of the lineup media here is going to put the stats out next week. And if it comes out that Jono's show, normal baseline, doesn't do as well as the one that we've hijacked here, we might be able to get this guy to jump off a cliff.
Wally Pipped is what
he's going to get. Wally Pipped.
We could start a hashtag.
Next man up.
We could start a hashtag No Jono.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, Rich, back to the positive and negative thing.
Well,
what do you got on the Cowboys? I mean, if you're going to look at a negative or you're going to look at a positive, or if you're going to take a negative and turn it into a positive, I mean, that's your forte. So break down what you've seen through six games. I mean, this is through seventh week. We've already had our bye, right? So we're sitting here at 500. So
3-3.
What do you like from a positive standpoint? What do you like from, this is negative, and here's the positive on it?
Well, let me step back to the question earlier. Everybody loves a winner. We all know that. Nobody wants a loser, ever. But as you alluded to, the life's going to kick your butt. It's going to knock you down. That's kind of the whole thing about the Kickin' Life podcast. Once you've hit the bottom, you got two choices. Lay there and cry about it. Find excuses, find an scapegoat, or look inside and say, look, I got to do better in order to make the team do better. I've got to do better in order to make my life better. And too many times we fall back on excuses because it's easy. Yeah, you know, the Aaron Rodgers thing, he's out now, so they got to find something to complain about. Negativity is taking over society. That's why, you know, all these news networks, or the ratings are through the roof. It's a fear-based mindset. I did a little study on this. I won't go too in-depth, but there's a part of our brain that anytime fear is going to draw you closer to that because it's something, oh, my gosh, I got to hear more about this because this could be detrimental to me. It could be life-changing. Oh, my gosh, my team could, you know, fall off the face of the earth and never win another game. I mean, it's all that fear mindset. And by doing that, that's more of that shock. And a part of your chemical in your brain called cortisol. Cortisol is that stress chemical. Now, that's founded there, you know, way back in the prehistoric days. If you're walking through the woods and you're looking for food for your family and a goddamn saber-toothed tiger jumps out at you, you got to have that cortisol rush. So you're automatically always on guard. Well, that part of the brain is in there, and that chemical in the brain, and that's that fear-based mindset. Well, people that put out, not our podcast, of course, but other podcasts and other shows and social media, they realize that. That's why they constantly are bombarding with fear. If you think about it, 97-98% of your life is pretty dang good. But for some reason, we focus on the 2% that's not so good. And get back to the question there, Steve-O. I think the Cowboys 3-3, yeah, a couple games we should have won, actually, you know, being us, they should have won every game, right? Things happen. But there's a lot of pressure on Ezekiel Elliott right now with this thing lingering over his head. I think last week, he made a statement. He broke out and said, you know, I'm going to do this thing. And by him kind of doing that, and you know as well as I do, if there's negative aura in the room, everybody's feeling it. If there's pressure, stress in the room, everybody's feeling it. But if we're able to break through that and say, you know what, let's just play some freaking football. Let's get out here and play cowboy football. It releases a lot of that. And now we can get back to doing what we're doing. So I forgot what the initial question was.
Yeah, I fell asleep over here. I heard cortisol. I thought we were talking about that chemical in turkey that puts you to sleep.
That tryptophan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Slow, a little bit different.
Okay. Well, it is what it is.
It's all right.
Rodney, what do you got? I mean, what's the positives out there that you see the Cowboys going in now to a divisional matchup with the Redskins? What should we be taking from the first six games and looking to apply here and looking at an outcome here?
Well, the positives for me are is that we still have a big chunk of our divisional schedule left. We got the Eagles and the Redskins twice still, and we got the Giants one more time. And as we know, they're not that good. We already beat them once, right? So the positives are that we still have that schedule ahead of us. So even though we're 3-3, our destiny is for the division is still ahead of us. And it's going to start this week with Washington. And then, what is it, 2 or 3 weeks from now, we'll get Philly for the first time, I think. They're in this next stretch, right?
Right.
In the four-game stretch. So we got two big divisional games coming up. So, again, 3-3 is not necessarily where we thought the team would be or where you want to be. However, like I said, we still have those big games ahead of us. So even though we've sputtered a little bit, we've been up, we've been down, if we take care of business against the Redskins and the Eagles, frankly, the division should take care of itself as long as we hold serve on those games.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the next four, and that's what, you know, typically we like to look at is you got the Redskins, obviously a big division game, and watching them Monday night against the Eagles, I don't know if I'm necessarily – I won't say we're going to overlook them because we can't afford to do that. We've done that way too much. But I didn't really see where they would really be able to compete against us. They've had a couple of injuries also on the offensive line, which almost plays into what our strength is right now, which our defensive line is really coming on. So, you know, you got them, the Chiefs, which you're going to catch them at home. You're going to catch them on a short week as well, that you're doing the same thing with the Washington Redskins coming off of Monday Night Football. And then you got to go to Atlanta, which – they've been terrible as of late, I guess, or the, you know, kind of in a Super Bowl hangover. And then you got the big game against the Eagles at home. So it's an important four-game stretch because I think when you looked at this either coming into the season or in the first 2 weeks of the season, you would think, oh, my God, you're going to have to run a gauntlet here for those four games. Rob? Yep.
No, I agree 100%. You know, you're going to – yeah, I think, again, you know, Cowboys take a little – those two losses at home – you know, number one to the Lambs, and yeah, we're still bitter here in St. Louis.
We are.
Sometimes.
It's a, yeah, no.
No, but
don't hold back.
Yeah, so, you know, so you have some you know, bitterness that goes along there, and you know, to lose to a team that's just been an absolute doormat for I don't know, the 2000s. Since 2000.
A long 2003.
Yeah, 2003.
It's been a long, long time.
You know, but, you know, that's the key. You go back to it, you know, pick yourself up, start winning games treat one game at a time and, you know, get through this stretch. And, you know, when you look at the latter half of the schedule, it opens up a little bit. And again, you know, you get the Eagles two more times, so you make up ground real fast that way in the division.
But I think that when we looked at the schedule, well, we knew the schedule was going to be more difficult all along. As soon as we saw the schedules come out, we looked at it and we're like, wow, you know, like really the first half, the first four games, the second four games each quarter, like we're looking at, well, that's going to be pretty tough. So I think that ultimately whenever we kind of got off to a rocky start at 3-3, you're like, man, and then you look at that next four-game stretch and you're like, wow, really wish we'd be, you know, just a little bit ahead of the curve, but we're not. But we still have all of that ahead of us. We can still make that up.
Right.
And we're going to have to. Otherwise, and frankly, if we don't win, you know, enough of these games divisionally, we don't deserve to win the division anyway. So it's put up or shut up against those teams in our division.
Right. And when you look back at it, one of, you know, Rich brings us up all the time, it's how important was Sean Lee in those, you know, not having him in those two losses, because you're talking about giving up 35 and 35 points, but back-to-back weeks, and you don't have him, and it just seemed like the middle of our defense was just terrorized over and over and over, and it was the whole defense was just it seemed weak without him. It made everything weak. It normally, you know, you miss a guy and you go, okay, well, your pass rush isn't going to be there, or you miss a guy and you go, ah, well, you know, if they attack with this receiver, you know, their second, you know, number two receiver, we might struggle because this guy's out, or your safety's not going to fill a hole. But it seemed like when Sean Lee was out of there that our whole defense kind of just took seven steps back, where it was just – you couldn't even plug one hole. There was now 9 holes, 11 holes.
Well, and we talk all the time about him being a field general. I mean, he's out there more than just what he does. He leads by example. I think a good analogy would be if you take – on a World War II, you take General Patton out and you put in some no-name in his place. Yeah, you still got the same troops around you. But that field general is the one that leads by example, picks those up that need to be picked up, you know, gives the other guy a high five, great job, smacks another guy on the butt and says, hey, let's get it together. But he leads by example by everything he does. And without that presence, without that field general, you know, everything else starts to fall apart. As you mentioned, Steve, it's one guy. But why do we have holes in six different places now? It's just one guy. He doesn't fill all those places. But no, but he leads by example being that field general. As we know, you know, the quarterback on the offense, you can always tell, and we talk about Dak all the time, where would the team be if Dak wasn't in there? You know, he's the field general. He's still got 10 other guys around him that are still going to do their job, but without that general leading the charge, and that's what Sean Lee is to the defense.
No, absolutely. And that's the good way to describe it. He is the quarterback of the defense, and what's the job of the quarterback? Now, not only does he have to know his job, but he has to know the job of everyone else.
Yep.
And I think with our secondary being young, I think that was noticeable that since he wasn't there, some of those guys were probably out of position on certain plays because they were used to relying on Sean Lee, kind of just, you know, just a little extra, you know, whatever it is. You know, like if we break down the tape, we can point out a million of those things, right? Exactly. Yeah. He's the on-field coach, and he's making sure they're in the right position and knowing the correct play call. And when he's not there, that puts more pressure on everyone else on the defense, especially those younger secondaries.
Well, right. Well, you said it, Rodney. I mean, if you got somebody else that isn't a seasoned veteran or a natural-born leader, if you will, or turned into a leader, they're going to worry about making sure their job is taken care of first, as opposed to taking care of the young secondary and everything else. We got Sean Lee in there. He's comfortable with his position. He knows now as a leader his job is to make everybody else better by helping them out. So, yeah, that's why all those holes pop up.
Well, we talk about health constantly, and especially here in the NFL, as far as those teams that either can stay healthy and they'll make it through a whole season are usually doing pretty good, or if they do have an injured player, one of their star players that goes down, that the next man up, which is everybody's mentality in the league, is able to actually come in and adequately fill that spot. I don't see a whole lot of times where you get an injured player and all of a sudden you know, the game's elevated for the other 10 and the guy that comes in sucks ass. I mean, usually the guy that comes in has to fill those shoes somewhat. Rob, am I off base there?
No, I agree. You know, one of the things that Rich was saying about the general is that, just to kind of go back to that real quick, and I think this goes with, is that the general knows everybody's role. When you talk about young players in the league, really in any sport, they're not seasoned. They don't know. They know how to do their position, but do they know the defense? See, you got two words. You two different scenarios. You have, I know what my position is as a cornerback or a safety, but then you have the overall defense. And, you know, the general knows what everybody's responsibilities are.
Absolutely.
And can guide and direct. And that's what makes him a leader. And that's what makes him a general. the young guys, the ones that don't want leadership, because you can be a veteran and not want leadership either. And but they play their position, and they truly don't know what the defense is supposed to be doing as a whole.
No, and it's the collectively 11 guys have to work together, but you got to have one general in there bringing them all together, as opposed to, like you mentioned, somebody else steps in, and they know their role, but they don't know everybody else's role, and that's, you know, the definition of leadership. So, Steve, I know you're a big, really into baseball. You do the two birds and a bat with the Cardinals. Baseball has a thing, wins over replacement, right?
Yes.
Or, I don't think the NFL has anything like that. I don't know how they would measure that. But that's kind of the same thing. You've got somebody out there, but it's almost more of an individual there because, yes, the team's working together. If a ball's hitting the gap, you know, setting up relays and everything else. But other than that, your ball's hit the center field, you're calling off the left fielder and you're making the play. Not everybody's really involved on every single play if it's a fly ball to the outfield with nobody on base. You see my scenario there?
No, absolutely. And I'm sure, first and foremost, let's get something straight. There's somebody going to be smarter than me and you can figure out this wins above replacement.
I have no idea what the formula for that is.
Yeah, but somebody, believe me, there's somebody smarter than us that would be able to figure that out. And they might have that for all intents and purposes. I don't know. But you're exactly right. When you look at guys missing, how many games are they good for? How many games is Aaron Rodgers good for? I mean,
a whole bunch.
I mean.
But I think you mean how many games is he good to win? Not by himself, but by him being in that position.
By him being Aaron Rodgers as opposed to Brett Huntley up there.
Is it Huntley or Hundley?
Huntley. Yeah.
Exactly. I just want to bring that. Sorry, go ahead.
It's Brett, and it's not Favre.
Favre.
But anyway, at the end of the day.
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
Exactly. Something about Mary.
Something about Mary.
I'm coming into town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass.
Now, guys, get back on the Cowboys. What are you doing?
How dare we? See, that's what I want to be able to do every once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Brett, you mind putting your autograph on this pump for me?
Yeah. So, Jono's gone off the reservation. Remember, folks, you've got to share this episode if you're never, ever listen to us again. Make sure all your friends share this one for sure.
Hashtag no Jono.
Yeah, hashtag no Jono on this one. But no, let's go over to one of the sides of the ball that we really kind of need to talk about. That's the special teams right now. We got a new kicker, a member of the NRA, Ted Nugent. Is that right? Did I get that name right?
No, that one you missed as well. It's Mike.
Nugent. Okay. I was wondering how Ted Nugent was going to
get out there. 70 years old. He'll be out there with his bow shooting.
Absolutely. We got Mike Nugent, most recently maybe with the Bengals, or his fame
in Cincinnati. Right. I really don't know what he's been doing recently, though. Was he still with them before? I mean,
well,
all I know is he's not Dan Bailey.
He's not Dan Bailey. And let me tell you what. When you talk about guys going down and the next man up mentality, that next man up in a very important part of the NFL game, which nobody really likes, the kicking game, okay?
Well, the extra point's no longer a gimme like it used to be, so that's huge.
Exactly. So you're talking about when all of a sudden you get Dan Bailey run out there on the field, it's automatic, get our three or take our extra point and let's go kick off, right?
Yep.
Now you got Ted Nugent. And I do that on purpose, folks. It's just funny. Rich over there laughs every time.
I mean, the first time it was funny.
I know, but Rich laughs
every time.
You've gone to the well too many times, too close together.
It'll be great.
I'll keep going there.
So you got
NFL.
You got Ted Nugent over there kicking. What is your concern outside of, you know, the normal, hey, we just need him to make the routine play, right?
Are you asking me that question?
I'm asking that. Or do you switch philosophy? Do you give him a couple of shots, and if he's shankopotamus, do you start running the 2-point conversion a lot more?
He was a good kicker for a long time in this league. You know, now as to why is he unemployed currently? I mean, I got to be honest, I don't follow the place kicking position all that closely. He was in Cincinnati for 6 years.
You don't have words set up.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't. It's unfair because kind of what you said, Steve, that kickers are. It's like if they make it, well, that's what you're supposed to do, and if they miss it, then they're the worst person on the face of the earth, and they should be run out of town. But anyway, he apparently had a little cup of tea with the Giants earlier this year as to why they no longer have him employed. I don't know. Is it, you know, was it just an injury, a numbers game, or
Josh Brown beat
him? I don't know.
Is it the 0-6 record?
Well, and I don't know.
Rob.
I don't know what like
it's
was
all
this
the kicker's fault.
Yeah,
a preseason thing. Did he even start with them? I really have no idea. Maybe we could have our intern look that up. Or do we even have any interns anymore? They're all gone.
We lost the interns.
The Giants are 0-6. It's the kicker's fault.
Well, they won a game. No, they won. Didn't they?
They beat the team that beat the shit out of us. They beat the Broncos.
They beat the Broncos.
No,
1-6.
1-6. My bad.
Okay, so obviously, Rob, I'm a little concerned that if we do get into a tight game, and how long is Dan Bailey going to be out, and when he comes back, are they going to restrict him to say, hey, we got to be within 45 yards? Yeah. You know, this is a groin injury, and one of those things that you could very easily tweak it. You know, you're doing kickoffs. Do they just save him for – Jeff Heath seemed to do a fairly decent job kicking off, at least. Do you, if Bailey,
points, I mean.
Yeah, when Bailey gets healthy, do you just say, okay, we're going to save you for points and let Jeff Heath continue to kick the ball on the kickoffs? Or if we do need a touchback, maybe we put you in, but maybe, you know, just limit his exposure a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to take it from somebody who has pulled their groin many times. It is.
That sounds. Hey, keep that in.
It's very difficult.
Wrong show,
Robbie.
Wrong show.
It's very difficult to do a lot of things around the house, let alone kick a football professionally. Yeah. So.
Well,
yeah. I mean, it's. I think all options are on the table at this point. I mean, let's see what Nugent can do. If he's getting enough touchbacks, if they're covering kicks well enough, and then obviously more importantly, is he going to be able to kick a field goal in a crucial situation? Only time will tell. And maybe we don't. I mean, let's hope that we only need him for a few weeks, a couple weeks. I don't know. It sounds like Bailey might be out a while, but if it's just a simple stopgap where we can get by with him for 2 or 3 weeks and get Bailey back, then. God help us. Let's hope that is the case. But
well, that kind of runs into a personal preference on the bye week type thing. Would you guys prefer to have a bye week like the week 6, 4, or 5 in there, or would you prefer to have it like 9, 10, or 11?
I would rather have it later, mid-season.
Me too. Yeah. I would love to see the NFL go to the 18-week schedule and have two byes in there.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I would love to see an expanded roster to maybe 3 additional players, 2 to 3.
Yeah.
I know that comes down to money, but I just think in today's day and age, with how they react to concussions, with how you want to protect your assets, I just think it would be better to have more bullets in.
You want your stars on the field.
You want your stars on the field,
yeah. Sure.
And you want to protect them if something does happen, and you want to be able to get them out and maybe give them a second bye week in there somewhere where everybody has one within, the first 7 weeks, everybody has one within, the final.
Yep,
three or four.
Yeah,
Rodney being an insurance salesman, right? It's insurance. You have your insurance.
That's true.
That secondary buy there,
betcha.
Having 3 more men on the roster, even though it's going to a little more on the payroll side. But if you
they can
protect
handle
your,
it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they can handle it. But you're protecting your assets. That's exactly right. That was assets.
We get into the conversation about there's always a lot of talk about how long the NFL season is, and I don't mean to be devil's advocate in this conversation, but. You had 2 more bye weeks, or you had another bye week. Now you've extended the season. Now
oh, no, we want to take preseason out. Like, let's get rid of it.
Well, and I'm all for that, too. You sit there and you lay out 18 weeks, and then by the time we're going to be playing the Super Bowl, maybe the great thing is it'll be on Valentine's Day, at that midpoint in February, keep extending that out. But if you're going to do stuff like that, then I agree. Then we have to do things like go from maybe – 4 preseason games down to 2 preseason games. We got to do something. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, too, about the NFL, say 10, 15, 20 years ago, where they would get 60 practices between, start of training camp or even OTAs and then before the season start. Now they're down to 33. They get 33 team practices, for a team to come together. And I actually think that's become somewhat the idea is protection for players, I guess, but it's become detrimental to the game a little bit. I remember watching Week 1 and I thought, oh my God, this is like watching
preseason.
It's watching preseason football.
And tackling
again.
Has become horrible.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. We know the NFL tries to dominate the calendar year round. They as soon as they end the season, you know, it's the Pro Bowl, then it's they want to talk about the draft, and then it's a draft, then they want to talk about OTAs and everything. They're trying to make it a 13-month-a-year season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is to always be stay in the front. My point, Rob, to simply let's go ahead and extend it. We're in the middle of March, or excuse me, middle of February. We're going to have the Super Bowl every year in New Orleans and roll right into Mardi Gras right there. I mean, to me, there's nothing better, right? Just,
you know, Steve, I've been thinking about this. You would be the perfect NFL executive. I mean, your ideas are right on.
Well, let me tell you another thing that I would do.
Uh-oh.
Here's the other thing, and I've already sent this in once before to Dean Blandino, is on these instant replays.
Did he respond to you?
They have got to time stamp every camera. Like, they got a sequence. Like put them, what's the word I'm looking for? Simultaneous.
Okay.
They got to have them running. You know, almost like you're going to rob the bank, and everybody gets on their same, okay, start your clock now. Blutarski was always late, right? Reference?
Yeah, the Blues Brothers.
Animal House.
Oh, Animal House. Okay.
So, anyway, so when you get an angle from the camera, you can go to the reverse angle and match up just that time frame or that frame of it and go, okay, yeah, his foot knee was down and the ball wasn't across the line, as opposed to trying to piece them together.
Yep.
I'm telling you, I'm a genius. You're right. I need to be an NFL exec. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, God.
There it is. There it is.
Are they picking me up? Is there somebody from the NFL listening to this show?
I actually think we're just going to end the podcast about 5 minutes early, so they are waiting for you outside.
Sweet.
Oh, that's the NFL.
There's a car. I saw a folder with a pen on top of it. I think it's just a matter of you signing on the line.
Was it a folder? Would it have a football skin to it?
Football skin to it. No, it was just a standard Manila.
Oh, I don't want it then. So it was a
very nice pen, though.
All right.
Well, it was an executive pen.
Mont Blanc or Cross? Which one was it?
Ooh.
All right. So let's get into the preview
Paper
of this.
Mate.
This game coming up against Washington. The great thing is, a lot of times, is that when you get a team that plays on Monday night in prime time, because we're all football junkies, and because the red zone's not on, we get to actually watch that. And almost as film, right?
That's true.
And we got to see, I mean, they were in a slugfest somewhat with the Eagles.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, no,
go ahead. It just seemed like that the Eagles were way too much for them. And I think we match up well against the Eagles. And I would look for a favorable outcome, even in Washington this week, with the Cowboy game, right?
I hope. I mean, I didn't see it quite the same way as you did. I think the Eagles are, I mean, from what we saw and what we've seen thus far, the Eagles do look like a better team. I don't know. Washington is just kind of one of those teams that is just, I don't know. I don't see that we are just head and shoulders better than they are. I think most of the teams in our division, the Eagles, us, and Washington, I actually think are all pretty close to each other, and as long as you are within a score or two going into the fourth quarter, anyone can win that game that day. So I don't know. I still think that we'll come out on top this week, and we'll get into our predictions a little bit later, but I just personally didn't see it as though the disparity was that great amongst the three teams thus far.
Yeah, I think it's almost a crapshoot. You're not sure what you're going to get consistently for four quarters of football. And I think you're right, Rodney. I think it's going to come down to the end there, the fourth quarter, and who's ever, you know, got something left in the tank to slug it out is going to come up on top. And hopefully, as we said, Ted Nugent, if it comes down to a field goal, he can stand up and do what he needs to
do. And I would also add that it's really – I think that I take that back. I'm going to revise my answer slightly. If we play our game, which we've only done a handful of times thus far this year, where we dictate the tempo and we are in control of the game and we're running the ball and running play action off of that. If we do that, then yes, I think we're better than anyone in the division. Now, when we've played against other teams that took us off our game early in those games, we allowed them to play their game, and we're just not – our team is just not built for that. We have to get the train rolling early and keep it rolling the whole time.
Well, what's the biggest threat you see coming into this Washington game?
Cousins against our secondary and being able to get consistent pass rush on him.
Okay, and I know they have a couple of offensive linemen that went out hurt.
Which hopefully will help us. Yeah,
which if they're should. You know, if they're under the same mentality of the next man up type scenario, if those guys perform well, well then it's, you know, it's up to Irving and Lawrence to get to them, right?
Yep.
But if they're not, it could be a heyday for them. I mean, the Eagles got to Cousins several times,
yep.
So. My big fear is obviously Jordan Reed is a big target for him. I don't know if we have an answer to Jordan Reed in the secondary to cover him.
Probably not.
Probably not. You going to speak in the microphone? Or?
I will now. Okay. I was going to sit a couple plays out.
Well, don't do that. We need you. We need everybody in full participation mode.
Well, I got to take a break.
Rub some dirt on it and get back in there.
Rich, what do you see out there?
Put me on the spot. Well, it's as always. We got to get pressure on the quarterback. We got to force them to play our. We got to play our game, and then force them to get away from their game plan. And I want to talk about, you know, Zeke Elliott. The game against the Broncos, not only is a non-factor, but I think he mentally shut down after the, I don't know, maybe even the second quarter. And you could just see it in the way he was running the ball, the way he was on the sideline. And then, of course, you take that compared to last week against San Francisco. He's over there, feed me more, and he's all jacked up and excited. And you could just feel it and see it with the whole team coming out. Now, you know, other people say, well, yeah, San Francisco, they suck and they're terrible. Yeah, but you still have to beat them. And we beat them. We got three turnovers. We got to the quarterback. We had, what, five sacks? And those are things we've got to do. So on both sides of the ball, we've got to step up and play, as Rodney said, our game.
Well, when I look at them, like I said, my big fear, I agree with you, Rodney, is Kirk Cousins being able – he's one of those guys, I don't know if he's ever a first-round draft pick for everybody in fantasy, but he seems to put up decent stats.
To get it
especially
done.
Especially yep. When it gets into garbage time. He usually will be able to throw – you know, I mean, you might be up by three scores and he gets the ball. All of a sudden, man, he's bing, bang, boom down the field in no time at all. How do we contain Jordan Reed? Because Jamison Crowder, okay, he's going to be a okay receiver. Terrell Pryor is all but absent from this team, and he was supposed to be their new number one guy, their new shiny toy, and he hasn't done much at all. And then you look at running back wise, you know, Fat Rob, and who's their other guy that's halfway decent? Is it Tom? Thompson? Is it?
Clinton Portis.
Yeah, whatever. Jesus. So, yeah,
dynamite
running back.
Dropping there, Rodney. That broadcast school's really paying off.
Thompson. Thompson's the other one.
Thompson.
Is somebody that I see. I'm not sure that he's going to run against us necessarily, but, you know, the screen plays, the little dump-offs, the little swing passes are another one that kind of concerns me. That guy gets in the open field, and he can be shifty for sure.
Cricket.
Are you guys all looking for stats online? What are you guys? Everybody's
exactly
on the phone.
No,
here.
I'm looking at Facebook.
Facebook?
No, I'm looking, at past.
Sorry, Steve. All right. I'll help you out.
Redskin games here.
So what you're asking me is whether or not we're going to be able to defend the screen game and the running backs.
Yeah, or what your concern is with it.
Washington hasn't been a dominating rush attack per se this year. It all relies around Kirk Cousins for the most part. As long as they run decently, mildly effective, then that makes Kirk Cousins a little bit better. I think honestly, really, what it comes is just. I just think flat out, it's going to depend on whether or not we can get pressure on Cousins consistently. And if we do that, we'll handle it and we'll win the game.
Well, I mean, that's going to be the million-dollar question. I don't really see. Defensively, them being able to stop what we like to do. But I would tend to go with if we can get Dak into the game with his legs early, not even the throwing part of it where he's making his completions, but I love setting the tone with the read option and getting him going with his legs because I think that's where everything really kind of frees up our offensive game plan because then you have the triple threat. You know he can throw the ball. Yep. You know he can run the ball, and you know Ezekiel can handle his own business. And that's where I thought we were most effective is when we get into those positions where, you know, it's third and two, third and five even, and they're looking for Zeke to get a handoff, and this guy, all of a sudden, read option, he's out around the end and running for 8, 10, 12 yards. That's our big play, and that's what I look for us to establish early in this game.
It's a backbreaker too, especially on the third down, being able to do that, and that's where Dak excels. Get him, you know, he can handle throwing the ball in the pocket. He's not as of yet in his career, he's not a great progression reading quarterback, but what he is you see the immense athletic ability that he has. So run the ball effectively. Run a little play action, roll him out, give him a couple different options where he can run or throw it, and that's where he's going to excel.
Well, and you're right, Rodney. We've got to keep moving the chains, and there's nothing more backbreaking to a defense. And you get a team, you know, third and two, well, it's manageable. Third five, third seven, third and eight, you know, there's like, okay, we're going to get him off the field here, get our offensive back out, and, you know, you do the read option, you get Dak involved other than just throwing the ball. Bang, you get you move the chains, you're on the field a little bit longer, and that continues to crush the defense. So that's huge, absolutely huge. But once again, we've got to get the players involved. Like we talked last week, Steve-O, about getting Dez Bryant involved early, you know, getting him rolling with it. But we still spread it around a little bit, giving everybody a little bit of a taste, but going to Dez, going to Beasley. And, of course, Witten, you know, he's your safety valve. Wow. And I was just reading an article on that, and it was talking about, and I couldn't, I'm unsure the gentleman's name who's supposed to be covering Witten here, DJ Swearinger, maybe?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they just said that's a really, really bad matchup for the Redskins. Swearinger's good, but he's not good enough to cover Jason Witten. That's not my words. That's what's written here.
The matchup that I think everybody's going to pay to see is going to be Josh Norman and Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Now, Josh is getting a little long in the tooth, and he's coming back from having a week off with an injury. But, you know, Dez is one of those guys, and we talked about it, Rich, last time when we were talking about targets and everything like that. If he gets on a roll, he is one of the ultimate playmakers in the NFL. I mean, you can put him up there with the likes of Julio Jones and A.J. Green. He's that guy. But he doesn't, for some reason, he doesn't consistently get that ball and demand it. It seems like he has to get on a roll early or on a streak, very streaky. But if he gets established early, I mean, we could see a big game out of him at any point. I just don't know if this one with Josh Norman is going to be that point, really.
I just think with that, if he gets involved early, he gets all – I mean, every route he runs from that point on is with everything he's got. If he kind of feels like he's being left out, his routes start to diminish a little bit, his attitude, his effort. And I'm telling you what, these backs in the NFL can pick up on that. If you're running a half-ass route, they're going to see that. They're going to feel it, and they ain't getting the ball. I know that. This is a run play, or this is going the other side of the field. So get him involved early. It's just a mental thing for him, I think, a mental thing for a lot of players. You got to get him going. You got to feed him, if you will, to kind of keep that energy charged with him. Rob, thoughts on that?
No, I agree 100%. I mean, I think throughout his career, he's been a guy that almost gets better as the game goes on, but only if
he's touching
only
the ball.
If he's touching the ball early in the game.
You early know? And often.
Early and often. And, you know, I sit there and I think about how you're going to, you know, big games like this, you have to have your big players make plays. You know, you can't be relying on second string, third string wide receivers to be how you're going to win a game. You know, Dak has to make plays. Zeke has to make plays. Dez has to make plays. I mean, it's really that simple. Yep. Jason has to make plays. These are the guys that you are the cornerstone to your team. The expectation is that if you're going to win and you're going to win big games, those are the guys that are supposed to do it day in and day out. Get the ball to them,
yep.
You know.
And you can have the support of the backups and the second stringers, but big guys got to make the big plays because they're being paid the big bucks, and that's what they do.
Yep. You know, and I would like to see, and I agree with you guys there, but I would like to see a fifth, a sixth, and maybe even a seventh option get into the Cowboys scoring. I mean, last week we had Zeke, Dez, Prescott, and Witten, right? I would love to see, you know, where's Terrence Williams been? Where's Bryce Butler been? Where's Beasley been outside of the game against the Packers where he had a couple of touchdowns. I mean, those are the guys that when we're clicking and all of a sudden that ball is being spread around, that it's just like watching a pinball machine, man. It's like bing, 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 bing down the field. But I still believe it all hinges from the defense being concerned as with Dak as a runner. And I would love for them to open it up. You know, as much as I'd love to see ball control and establish the run and a 150-yard plus out of Zeke, I would much rather see 100 yards out of Zeke and like 50 or 60 out of Alfred Morris because he's getting the ball late because we were able to run our whole offensive playbook from start to finish.
No, I agree with that completely. I think I still, you know, and I've been saying this for sorry, you guys are probably tired of hearing me say it at this point. Take some deep shots downfield. Open up the middle of the field, and that way, whenever Dak needs to run, those linebackers are going to be sucked just a little bit deeper. Those safeties are going to be taken back just a little bit deeper because they're afraid that they might go over the top, and he will pick up those third and five, third and six, back-breaking third down type plays with his legs. And, you know, but yeah, I think open up the whole playbook. That's a good way to put it. That's exactly what, you know, when we are rolling, we have the whole playbook opened up. We talked about this all offseason about how many weapons we had and how we are going to be able to spread the ball around, and we're going to do that. I don't know, maybe I'll ask you guys, do you feel as though that we've, outside of a terrible San Francisco 49er team, like, do you feel like we've had a complete offensive game yet this year where we felt like we were, there didn't matter what the defense was going to do because we had an answer for it every single time?
You know what? I didn't mind the Arizona game or the Packers game for that matter. I thought we gave it everything we possibly had with the Packers game, spreading it around, and a lot of guys got into it that way. But our defense failed us. You know, it goes back to the whole Sean Lee being out. Yeah. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm just kind of reading a stat here. In our three wins, we've given up 3 points, 10 points, and 17 points. And the record of those teams is like 4-17. Yeah, they're awful.
No offense.
I mean, we
production.
Beat, and yep. You know, I mean, what is San Fran's 0-7?
Giants are one and six.
You know, so this is really kind of a big game because anybody that we faced with any sort of offense, they've lit us up. And that's, you know, I mean, all of a sudden you're looking at 42 points by Denver, 35 by the Rams, 35 by the Packers. So, you know, our defense has to step up. The thing I think that would be a backbreaker is us to come in, and let's take the Rams and the Packers out because, you know, we're missing Sean Lee. But if we have a debacle like we had against the Broncos, I mean, that's going to be an absolute backbreaker for the organization to sit there and take a look at what do we really have.
That's going
to
sting.
And Washington's sitting at 4-3. Is that what
they're
3-3 as well? Okay, so they had their bye in there. So they're sitting at the same record that we are. We have to establish our dominance over them from an early standpoint, and if we're going to have any success and be able to build on that from a confidence standpoint.
So speaking of that, that brings up a point kind of off what Roddy had said. I'm all for throwing the ball downfield, taking those shots. Do you think that the Cowboys are, because we realize the defense is a hole there, we're just trying to establish almost not. That's, I always believe in playing to win, not playing not to lose.
Right.
In other words, just, you know what, I'd rather take a 3 or 4 yard gain on a carry as opposed to wasting a down throwing the ball downfield. Even though throwing the ball downfield, you're going to open up the secondary a little bit, so you're going to gain more yards on the run. However, if you waste a down, there's a chance that, you know, if you don't pick up the first down, you're going to be 3 and out. You're going to have your defense back on the field. So what do you guys thoughts
on that? So it's interesting that you bring that up because I was listening to local radio here kind of break down the Atlanta Falcons problems and Steve Sarkisian down there compared to who's it? Who's the guy out that left him and went out to San Fran?
Kyle Shanahan.
Kind of Shanahan. That they talked about how Shanahan was an artist. That when he ran plays, it wasn't necessarily about that play, but it was painting a picture for the game. And that it wasn't just, you know, sometimes when you run, when you're not supposed to, it's setting up a play later on in the game.
Chess match.
It's a chess match.
Strategy.
Exactly. So, and I think that's what when Rodney says that, if you listen to a sentence, it wasn't about completing that ball down the field. It was about softening up those linebackers and keeping those defensive backs honest, okay, and holding safeties over the top so Ezekiel Elliott, Cole Beasley, Dak Prescott, Witten can have that middle to roam in those 12, 13, 15-yard plays.
An extra 1 or 2 yards underneath them, absolutely.
Right. So that's where you look at from a standpoint of this is our offense going to be an art piece? Is it going to be something where we come out there with a picture and we paint it systematically with our game plan, or are we just going, hey, we need 3 yards. It's second down. Let's go get 3 yards. And that's where, the offensive, with Scott Linehan should – I think he's shown so far, he's pretty artistic, right?
I've been a big fan of him, I'd say about 95% of the time. I mean, there's been the other 5% make you shake your head a little bit, but we're all human, and he's not perfect either. But kind of piggyback on what you two guys were just talking about, Rich and Steve. But I think the reason why I have always implored that, it was kind of to Steve's point, it really wasn't even about completing the pass, but it was more about that was what the defenses were doing to us. And they knew that we wanted to run the ball with Zeke. They knew that Dak was a 1 or 2 progression read guy. Let's throw it 6 yards, 7 yards down the field, and those safeties are playing up. The linebackers are playing up on the line. They're clogging up the middle of the field and those out routes. And you could just tell that it was like 1, 2, and there was nothing there, and then we were scrambling. And it wasn't fluid at all.
Sure.
And there was no consistency with it. And that's, especially in that Denver game. I mean, my gosh, it was like pulling teeth, just watching how that defense
tough.
Just dismantled us completely. We couldn't run the ball, and we couldn't throw those little 6 or 7 yard outs, and we didn't take one shot down the field, and it was over before we even knew what happened.
They painted a better picture than we did, essentially, in that game.
Definitely.
So, without a doubt.
I've always liked the second and one down. I don't know where this thought came from. Even as a kid, I remember the first time I'd seen that, maybe 7 or 8 years old, the announcer, the best down in football, second and one, because you've got so many options.
Whole playbook,
exactly. Yep. And, of course, I'm an aggressive guy. Man, freaking out, light it up, throw the dang thing deep. You got another down to try and get that 1 yard. If your offensive line can't block enough to get 1 yard, you shouldn't be on the field, right? So, but I'm seeing more and more of just taking the conservative, run the ball first down, let's have a whole new set of downs, and let's go from there. And I think when you start doing that stuff, the picture you're painting, that box is going to start getting a lot tighter there. Throw that ball deep, you spread them out. It's kind of Rodney's point there. So I don't know. It would be, an interesting analysis to see back in the 80s and, the Air Coryell days, and everybody's throwing the ball deep compared to nowadays, which, we got a hell of a passing game. Yards for quarterback more passing is far more. But I wonder on those second ones, what's going on there? Thoughts?
No thought. No, I like where you're going with it, and I think we all kind of sit there and watch the game, and you get in that situation, you're thinking,
Mom,
you have
throw it.
You have no idea what's going to happen. So it's the same thing with almost taking that the pistol snap when you're down on the goal line. When you're within the 5 yard line, and all of a sudden Dak or somebody else lines up, Aaron Rodgers is another one, lines up in the pistol, where all of a sudden you start thinking, man, inside handoff draw, he could throw the fade, or he can do the quarterback
draw.
Keeper.
Yeah.
So
all kinds of options.
You're exactly right. Here's what I want to move. I know we're getting up close to our hour. We're going to think about for you guys for a little bit what we're going to predict here. I got America's line up here, and we're going to look at that. But I want to get to our guest here, Rob. He needs to tell a story with how he became a Cowboys fan. I mean, I know you just hop on the bandwagon last year, was that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. As soon as it's unbelievable. So I grew up in St. Louis, been living here my entire life. And back in the day, there wasn't that many St. Louis Cardinal fans. So, and I was certainly not one of those. Gravitated to the Cowboys, Roger Staubach, Danny White. Now, remember, I was about 6 or 7 years old. My dad took me to a Monday night game against the St. Louis Cardinals back here at Busch Stadium. And, of course, being the, arrogant little shit kid that I am, decided that I was going to wear my cowboy starter jacket and cowboy's hat, and you know, got him to buy me a pennant when I was there, and having a nice time. And I got cussed at. I had beer thrown at me. I had, you know, screw you. I had everything from a from adults as a 6-year old kid. And you
did
know,
did you throw your beer back at him?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Actually, yeah.
That was back when they were cheap.
Yeah. I was this cheaper. Size. I was this size when I was 6, so I had a full beard too. I kept looking back at my father going, are you going to help me out? And he said, no. He said, you decided to wear the cowboy stuff here, and this is what you're going to deal with. And, you know, being a Cowboys fan my entire life. The good thing is we did win, so I got to walk out of there peacocking out of Busch Stadium while everybody else was all upset and disappointed. But, I've ridden this wave of, with the Cowboys for, since I was 6 years old. And, it's fun. They're fun to watch. They're a fun football team, to watch nowadays. And I don't mean to go back to what we were talking about, but I mean, look at the number of points that he scored over the last 6 games. So this is not an offensive problem. No. Losses are not because of offense.
No,
they're certainly because of defense. And we could sit here and go back 35 minutes in the conversation about Sean Lee and Generals and running the defense, but. I think this is true, is that, 9 times out of 10, if you score more points than your opponent, you're going to win. Most of the time, you will win.
Isn't that 10 out of 10, though?
No, you're right.
Dude, I was terrible at math.
I mean, there would be no math on this show when I started.
I had to get – where's my pencil?
Yeah, Rodney, you're the insurance guy. You know the numbers.
Let's think.
Carry the one.
Carry the one.
No, that's 10 out of 10, I think, actually.
Yeah, no, I think you're actually – no, you're right. You're right. My bad.
So if you have 5 beers as a 6-year-old, how many does that equivalent to the rest of your life?
Right. Yeah. Oh, shoot.
No, you're
– 7 times pie?
Yeah. 7 times. I'm over there adding it up.
I'm about ready to fall into a pizza coma, guys. So we gotta.
Does that include weekends or not?
Oh shoot!
We're gonna go ahead and wind this one up. If you, like I said, this is hashtag. What's our hashtag?
No Jono.
No Jono.
Wally Pip. Hashtag Wally Pip.
Hashtag Wally Pip. Something like that. So make sure you share it out. It's easy to find us, cowboyspodcast.com. I got some new business cards in here, man. What do those things say? I don't even know what they say. They put real name on there, fake name on there.
Real name.
Real name. So follow us on Facebook, cowboyspodcast.com. If you want to listen to the show, go to Google Play, Apple, iTunes, Stitcher.
Podbean.
Yeah, all that stuff. Rich, why don't you take
it? You mean go ahead and get that?
Yeah, you got all that
stuff.
You've
got it down, yeah.
I got it down. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast, the Cowboys Podcast. We can be found at Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. What's the other one?
Podbean or what?
All right, hold on. Cut.
Should we do it again?
Cut.
No. So, it's iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcast from.
There it is.
Lineupmedia.fm if you're a podcaster.
And we want to tell them to go to all of them, right? Like, yeah. Go to each actual – download every single podcast app that you can have. And
I don't know if that works.
Oh, I don't know if that works.
Well, can't you – for downloads?
I don't know. Share it out, most importantly. Share out
the
show.
Sure you can. Why couldn't you go to podcast, whatever, like iTunes, download it there, and get a download then from
Podbean. Oh, you can download all the different spots, but I thought that was what you're saying.
Well, we're just talking about downloads. We want this to be the most downloaded show that we've ever had.
So max out your phone capacity and storage and download the show.
You can always delete it later.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And don't forget the Kickin' Life show. There you go.
Okay, so here's what we got. Cowboys at Washington Redskins. Cowboys are favored by 2.5.
Has it gone up that? It was a pick'em at the beginning, wasn't it?
2.5.
All right. Where are you getting that from?
I don't know. They got opening was at 1.5.
Yes,
Bovada has it at some. Westgate. I just on America's line. I don't know where to go for this. I'm not a gambler.
Scores and odds have them at 1.5.
1.5?
Yeah. Over under 49.5.
Well, this over under has 50.5. So let's split the difference. Okay. 50.
All right.
All right. And 2. Okay. All right. So Cowboys are favored by 2, and over under is 50.
Ooh.
Rich.
I love it.
Go.
38-28, Cowboys.
Big one.
Woo!
Wow. Big one. 27-24, Cowboys. Just barely carrying the over.
Wow.
Mark it down, and then we'll laugh at me next week.
35-28.
Wow.
I think we got a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. I'm going to stick with 35.
No.
17.
Oh, wow.
I say our defense holds. We only give up two touchdowns and a field goal. 35-17 still hits the over and covers. I like okay. that.
All right.
You guys like that?
It's on the record now.
I like it.
Can't take it back.
Well, folks, it's been a great show. Rob, appreciate you crossing the river, coming over here and visiting with us for a couple of shows.
Yeah, thank you for the invite.
And buying lunch. You're more than welcome to come back anytime.
What a jackass. Seriously, I got to say it out loud.
I can't come next week, so I'll just give you the money now.
Okay. By the way, we do two shows a week, so please put $20 out on the table, and I will gladly buy my own lunch
did
with
he
your
do
money.
The, did he do the whole, like, oh, sorry, Rob, I left the house in a hurry, and I didn't realize.
No.
No,
he just didn't even come near his pocket.
Gotcha. There was an expectancy. It's like I gave him a gift to come on the show. I mean, this is like a gift. Most people would, I mean, he went out to lunch or dinner last night with a couple of radio hosts from what was the local radio station. Yeah. And, I mean, what'd you pay for that experience?
I didn't pay for dinner.
I know you didn't. But it was an auction. It was a raffle.
Auction. It was a raffle auction, yeah.
So you
their name wasn't Steve-O, right?
So I mean, here's the deal. I will hold a raffle for anybody that wants to come on the show with us in person, in studio. It's going to be, you know, I mean, you can buy tickets. What do we want to go? 6 tickets for $5, you know, an arm's length for 20, that type of stuff. And I'll buy you lunch. I mean, I could do that, right? I mean, I'll make probably, I mean, there's thousands of people that want to come on this show. So I brought you in, man. This is.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I appreciate lunch.
Absolutely.
It's like a quid pro quo.
Absolutely. Every time I'm on, I will buy lunch.
Oh, that's awesome. Whoa. I would love for you to become a regular. We'll get rid of, if that hashtag no Jono takes, you can sit right there in Jono's seat.
Hey, man, what are you doing? I can't talk like that.
It's kind of a mix between like derailed. Cookie Monster and Macho Man.
Yeah. Macho Cookie Monster.
You know what I always said? I always said, you know what, Jono, I could do the show without you. All I'd have to do is get a jar full of marbles. And every time I said, hey, Jono, what do you think? I just shake the marble jar, and it'd be the same thing as what the people are hearing out there in podcast land.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Well,
beating up on the wounded is what we're doing.
Exactly. For Jono that's not here, Rob, our guest, Rich, Rodney, and Steve-O, it's been the Cowboys Podcast, and we're looking for a huge, huge win against a division rival on Sunday. So we'll come in Monday and be ready to break that one down. So from all of us here, enjoy the game. Go, boys.
Go, Cowboys. Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.